Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Catholic Doctors, discussing medicine in light of church teaching. And now, The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek.
Welcome to The Catholic Doctors Show on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 and streaming on stgabrielradio.com. This is your co-host, Dr. Michael Parker, flying solo tonight. Dr. Turek is not with me in studio. He has some family obligations that he needed to take care of today and tomorrow, so we wish him luck with that. He's sending his oldest daughter off to college for her first year, and I know how traumatic that can be, so we wish Dr. Turek a happy and joyous day when he takes his daughter off to college, and I'm going to send him a box of Kleenex over there when he needs it for that day. So I'm going to bring the topics up today, and hopefully we'll have a good show for you. Today I want to talk about something that really affects my practice as an OBGYN, and especially as a Catholic OBGYN. That's the topic that we brought up before on the show, and that's infertility. Infertility is something that we're seeing more and more of, and there's lots of reasons for that. According to the Centers for Disease Control, about 11% of women are experiencing infertility at some point in their life. And infertility is not only affecting the women, but it's also affecting males too. About 40% of infertility is related to the male and 40% related to the female. And the rest is a combination of the two, is what I tell my patients is how it breaks down for them. And the reasons for infertility can be multiple and varied, and they can be a combination of the two or just one person affected and not the other. Most commonly with women, it has to do with being an ovulatory problem, but more and more so it's becoming related to their age. With men, it can be related to low sperm counts or to poor motility of the sperm, and that can be related to also social factors, smoking, alcohol, a number of different things. The Catholic Church has specific rules about infertility and guidelines for infertility, and those guidelines are not out there to be punishing people who have infertility, but to help them to come to a realization about the importance of marital relations and the importance of the conjugal act in conceiving life. The Catholic Church has always believed that the child should be conceived out of love through an act of love between the parents, where the parents allow the Holy Spirit to act through them for the creation of new life. The Catholic Church does approve of reproductive technology that will assist the marital intercourse in reaching its final act in a normal fashion, in achieving its procreative potential, as we say. Where the husband and wife are not separated, that's morally allowable. Any procedure which substitutes or suppresses a need for the conjugal act would be considered immoral. They also don't approve of procedures that obtain a semen sample by means of masturbation from the males or artificial insemination or in vitro fertilization. And I think one of the beautiful reasons about all of this is that it wants to respect the dignity of both the man and the woman, but also the potential child that can be conceived. So in my practice, I'm seeing more and more infertility. And many of the women that I'm seeing for infertility have already been through reproductive technologies. They've gone through procedures where they've either been receiving medications that are going to help them to ovulate with a better quality or to create more eggs so that they have better chances of becoming pregnant. They may even have gone through a procedure where the male sperm is placed up inside the uterus, called an intrauterine insemination, to help them conceive. When they come to me, most of the time they've failed in those procedures, and they're looking for their last hope, or they're looking for why aren't they pregnant and how can I help them to achieve a pregnancy. Or they're Catholics who do realize the church's teachings, and they want to stay faithful to their church, and they want to follow what they believe to be morally correct. And they've gone as far as they think they possibly can, but they want to find out more. Well, in my humble opinion, I think the Catholic Church's teaching is a great way to look at life, but also has a lot of it's caused a lot of doctors to look for alternatives for treating women and men with infertility and helping them to achieve what they so desire, and that is having children together. But I want to bring onto the show with me somebody who has great experience with infertility, having been an infertility specialist in the Chicago area for a number of years and being one of the most successful. He's been on our show before, and I want to welcome back to the show Dr. Anthony Caruso. Tony, welcome back to the Catholic Doctor Show on St. Gabriel Catholic
Radio. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
Well, Tony, I'm glad you came on because I really want to get your opinion on a number of these issues and topics that have been kind of bugging me as I see more and more infertility patients in my practice. And one of the things that I notice sometimes is that we're kind of creating the problem of infertility ourselves. As gynecologists, I see a lot of women who are young in their 30s or even maybe early 30s, you know, 32, 33, who have gone to their doctor and they tell them they've been trying to get pregnant for 6 months. And next thing you know, they're receiving ovulation induction medications for 3 or 6 cycles. And if that doesn't work, next thing you know, they're off to the reproductive specialist and they're getting so worked up and they're fearful that they've got infertility. How is society projecting infertility onto our patients and creating maybe a bigger problem than there actually is?
Well, I mean, I think Mike, you got a little bit of the nail hit in the head there. I think what happens is, number one, we've become a society where everybody has to have what they want when they want it. You know what I mean?
Right.
They want to have their job at a certain time. They want to have their life at a certain point at a certain time, and just like anything else, they put their kids in that point. And so when they reach that point where they've been pushing off children for X number of years and all of a sudden it's time for the child, don't ask me how, and it doesn't happen like 1 or 2 months in, they go to their gynecologist. And the gynecologist typically is not going to tell them, okay, well, you just started, so keep going for a while and we'll see where it goes. Or here's a series of tests we can do that we can find out if there's anything wrong, but at the same time, keep trying. They'll say, okay, fine, here's a pill. Take the pill for a few days. We'll see what happens. And after 3 months of that, if it doesn't work, then, okay, well, you must need something more than that. And then they wind up in the RE's office, or reproductive endocrinology office, and the next thing you know, they're doing IVF.
Right. And many of these, I have found that it builds a high level of anxiety in these patients as to their ability to become pregnant, especially when it's something that means so much to them.
Oh, I would agree with you, Mike. I think that there is no greater imperative in the world than a couple coming together in a married bond than the idea to further their childbearing, to have a child, to further their name, to further their family, to make their worlds worthwhile, whatever you want to call it, any one of those reasons or more. And realistically, they really shouldn't have to worry about that. Because, I mean, they come together as man and wife, then why wouldn't they just wait until nature allowed them to have a child?
Right, right. Do you think that stems from an improper view of what parenthood is? Because the Catholic Church teaches that there are several ways that you can be parents. You can be natural biological parents. You can be adoptive parents or foster parents. But you can also be spiritual parents. And we tend to more focus on, I have to be the biological parent.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think that the people don't see it. But however, you have to remember a couple things. First of all, there isn't going to be a whole lot of people out there who are going to ever understand what the term spiritual parenthood is.
Right. That's true.
Okay, we got to decide that for itself. I mean, I have a brother who's married, never had children, and he's been a wonderful spiritual parent to my children and his other nieces and nephews. But the point is that's a situation that you develop on after you've accepted that.
Right.
Adoptive childhood, parenthood is becoming more and more difficult because there are domestic reasons why things that are play that are preventing it. There aren't as many babies being put up for adoption because one of the beautiful forward-thinking things of the pro-life movement is that babies are being saved and kept.
Right.
So that's one. And international ways, okay, international things typically come from more war-torn countries. Well, there isn't a whole lot of that, really, that's having available babies. But, you know, you could adopt a baby, you could adopt a child, you could adopt a family. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But people don't see it that way. They see it as baby or nothing.
Right.
And that becomes a problem there. So what are you left with? You're left with natural childbearing.
Right.
And from that perspective, the entire society has grown to the point where they really have seen IVF as just another alternative of having a baby. They see it not as building a family or coming together or whatever, but they see it as having a baby.
Right. I think
and that's where it breaks down.
I look at it in some respects as we've changed the view on what the child is.
Oh yeah.
And you know, the child is now the perfect accoutrement to every outfit. And you have a boy and you have a girl so that you have the perfect match set. No matter where you go, and rather than, you know, and it's even in the language that we use to describe pregnancy. Oh, mm-hmm. You must have gotten pregnant. It must have been a mistake, or it was an accident, or it was, you know, unwanted or undesired, rather than being a gift.
Exactly.
You know, or a bun in the oven, or, you know, the stork left you a present at your house. You know, it's no longer seen as it's almost taken a negative connotation as to being pregnant. And I think when you add in the contraceptive mentality that society's taken on and your ability to control your reproductive potential throughout your lifespan, you now get an attitude of being able to control when you have a child. And when that doesn't go along, it doesn't meet expectations.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's kind of funny when you talk about this, you know, from your own training and mine, that we know things about the women's cycle, you know, how often they get their cycle, how likely is them to get pregnant, all that kind of stuff. And people sometimes are surprised at the way we found that stuff, the way we find that stuff is through measuring stable environments, so the Hutterites, the Mennonites. These groups that do exactly what you say. They come together, they get married, they never use contraception, they just work together, they have natural numbers of kids, and when they don't have kids anymore, then they go into menopause, and that's what it is.
Right.
That's the way the rest of society used to be, Mike.
Right.
All of society used to be. My parents were like that. Your
sure.
parents were like that.
Sure.
They came together, they got married. My mother got married when she was 21 years old. She had me when she was 22, and the way
right.
they went, you know what I mean?
Right, absolutely.
But we changed that. With the development of a number of different things, and now, as you said, children become a commodity. They become something that looks good in a certain piece of clothing, or is nice to have around as sort of a way to the family picture, or whatever. They stop being that real external evidence of the love of a couple.
Well, and that's where I think that, you know, and you and I talked about this before the show. Most people don't understand the Catholic view of children and of the family, and how it is supposed to reflect the Holy Family and the Trinity in and of itself, and so that when you do have a family, you really appreciate that you have been given something that is truly a gift from God that is to be stewarded through its life until its natural death, and. When we've done that, we forget all about the dignity of the person, the dignity of the child, and everything else that's involved. And you're right. When you come together in marriage, it's marriage now is just mainly a social contract. It's not necessarily even a holy event itself anymore.
Right.
And so when we look at it in that way, you know, it's more of a contract where we're going to live our lives together in this way, united with each other. But children are still not going to be the main basis of it. But when our parents were married, it was they got married because they loved each other and wanted to create more of each other.
Right.
And
exactly.
So I mean,
you're absolutely correct. And you see, as I think that is still being taught to a certain extent in Catholic schools. I think it's still being taught to a certain extent in CCD and in some places in some sacramental prep. But it's not being visualized in the society around them. It's not what they see in their street or in their playgroups or their friends.
Right.
So they're not getting that example that used to be there. And until we can create that environment again, and it's not just going to be Catholic. It's going to be people who want that natural way of going. I think we have to remember our evangelical Protestant friends. I think that there are lots of people out there who think like we do when it comes to sexual morality.
Right.
And as we begin to have those kids, I have a lot of hope in the next generation that they may very well think that it's better for them to come together earlier and really celebrate love together as a married couple and have children younger.
Right. I agree. And I think the John Paul II generation is going to be the one that's going to reinvigorate that idea. You're listening to the Catholic Doctor Show on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Remember, you can hear our show every Wednesdays at 12 o'clock. Whenever you hear the tornado sirens go off, make sure you turn on your radio and tune it into AM 820. Also, you can hear us Sundays at 2:30. You can also get our archives on stgabrielradio.com and pull up any shows that you want to listen to. I have with me on the phone Dr. Anthony Caruso from the Chicago area, a former reproductive endocrinologist and infertility specialist who left that practice to follow a more Catholic-based practice. And Tony, that's the next thing I want to talk to you about, is the Catholic approach to treating infertility, in my mind, actually, I think, is more effective, but actually addresses the true root of the cause.
Right.
And actually walks the couple through this journey of infertility and gives them answers as to why they're not becoming pregnant so that they can have a better understanding and more empowerment to make decisions about their fertility. Would you agree?
Oh, I definitely would. And, you know, and I mean, I never really gave up my REI roots or my certification or anything like that. I still do it, but do it in a new way.
Right.
I mean, which isn't really, you know, Mike, we were talking about this before we got on the air. The proper way, when I first came out of my training, when I first started treating people, when IVF was not what it is today, when it was basically a crapshoot, we treated people for what they had. We diagnosed them fully. We found the problems. We did laparoscopic surgery and discovered the problem, fixed it. We gave them simple treatments, and we watched them get pregnant. And we knew, as a matter of fact, the IVF in the early days was a loss leader. You didn't really want to do it because you couldn't make it profitable.
What brought about the change? I mean,
when was the tipping point? We got better laboratory stuff. We got better cultures. We got better stimulation protocols. We learned how to use the drugs, and we went up. And if you take a look at the rates of pregnancy and take a look at the IVF, about the turn of the century, about 2000, it all started to go up. Once that started happening, that all of a sudden the studies came out that showed that laparoscopy and endometriosis doesn't cause infertility. And next thing you know, they started doing more IVF. And then what you got to know is that the field changed, because the biggest places in the world for IVF did two studies that showed that people under 40 should only do 3 cycles of Clomid and then do IVF, and people over 40 shouldn't do anything except IVF.
Right.
And that is the way IVF is practiced, infertility is practiced since then. That's the last 4 or 5 years. Because it used to be, you used to go a little bit further. You used to do Clomid for a few months, then you used to do more stronger drugs, and maybe you did insemination, maybe you didn't. I mean, that's the biggest joke in the world. But
right.
The thing is that you at least gave it some time. At least you gave some theory about what is going on, and tried to fix it at its source.
Right. And I guess my question has always been, does not treating the underlying cause affect the success rate of these treatments that they're receiving?
Oh, that's a great question. See, now if they see something that would impair the cycle from working, like they found a cyst in the ovary that was endometriosis, or if they knew that the fallopian tube was full of fluid, because they could see it on an ultrasound,
right,
then they would do surgery and fix that thing that they could see, and then that would improve, and that would improve the chances of getting pregnant. But if they found other things like, you know, scar tissue, tubal problems, regular endometriosis that's the lower stage but not really affecting the ovaries or the tubes, those things don't matter. They have found in those kind of settings that in vitro fertilization and rates are not impaired.
Right.
So with that, they just kind of move right into those things. So now it's a profit center, because people are doing it with, they're able to use more sharper stimulation protocols. They're able to do all this kind of stuff, and so people just are bought into it and go through it because of the promise at the end.
Right, and they've even gotten around to where they don't have to come in on weekends anymore.
Exactly. They got it so put together that they can do it 2 weeks out of the month.
Right.
And go on vacation 2 weeks a month.
Right. Or phone it in.
which I mean that's actually looking at the most weird. Right. But I do know people who do that.
Now, now that you've gone away from, you know, the factors that are going to affect your Catholic faith,
right?
You're still practicing a lot of reproductive, let's say, reproductive knowledge,
right?
To help women, not just Catholics, but all women, to conceive. Have you noticed a difference in one, your relationship with your patients, and two, your ability to have the same success rates that you had with reproductive assisted technologies?
Well, I don't know if I would have the same results I had when I was at the end of the time I was doing reproductive technologies. About 60% of the people were getting pregnant. But there are two things that I have in the new practice that I never really had before. And one is a closer relationship with the patients, because I'm the one who sees the patient. I'm the one who does the ultrasounds on the patient. I'm the one who kind of guides the patient through their therapy. I understand the patients more. I see them at a different level. And I've come to really enjoy being with them more than I ever did before. Not that I never, I always enjoyed it. It's just, it's a very different sort of enjoyment that I had before. What the other thing is, in the practice that I'm in now, which I find the most amazing thing and somewhat gratifying, and God blessing me as much as I can, is being able to see a patient who can't get pregnant, help them get pregnant, and then follow them through their entire pregnancy and deliver the baby.
Right.
Which is not what REs do. They turn to get the people pregnant, and then they throw them back to the OB. Now, of course, that ruins a referral base, but by the same token, we see people get pregnant, and the pregnancies happen the same now as they did before. Pregnancies always kind of go in waves. Like, you got a time when no one gets pregnant, and then you have a problem when, like, 80% of the people get pregnant.
Right.
And that happens in IVF. That happens in 7 days, and it happens with this stuff, too. I mean, I have a patient where everybody gets pregnant. I have people who should get pregnant who don't. I have people who don't get pregnant for 4 months and then get pregnant. I have people who go away and then get pregnant. I have miracle pregnancies. I have people who should be pregnant and are pregnant. I mean, any kind of walk of life that comes through. And you learn, as I've always known, that it's not a rate. It's not a probability that people get pregnant. Every month is a light switch. Either they are pregnant or they're not.
Right. I always say there's just one day you really have anything you can do anything about.
Right.
And that's the day you ovulate.
That's right.
And so the rest you need to give up.
Right,
but
exactly.
Yeah.
I have the most fun when I talk to women at 7 o'clock in the morning about having sex with their husbands.
Right.
I mean, because they're cute about it, because they know what's at stake, because they've seen the follicle on the ultrasound. They feel the way they feel. They notice the changes in signs, and they're like all anxious to go and do it. Because they know that there's a good chance if God blesses them.
Right. And it's not something where they're waiting for the specimen to arrive from the lab or for their husband to finish in the bathroom so they
exactly.
can get the specimen or something like that. There's a happier moment. The two of them are involved
right.
in this process.
And I tell them what I try to do, I say this every day, what I'm trying to do with the fertility treatment is help the couple turn towards each other.
Right.
Because most infertility treatment turns them away from each other.
Right.
You never see the couple. You see her.
Right.
And you see his cup. That's all you see.
Right. And men are much more than a cup.
They are indeed.
I think it's also a great opportunity to introduce to these couples when they are having difficulties that there is a higher power in their fertility, that it's not just if I could wish you pregnant, you are. That God does have a hand here, and that we have to turn things over to him and to allow him to work through us.
Sure. And I honestly do pray for every single one of my patients every day, everyone who will see me, anybody who's trying to get pregnant. And these people here, I know they're so prayerful themselves. I mean, let's face it, when you open a clinic like we've opened, you tend to get the people who are most in line with you first, right?
Right.
So they come, and it's a wonderful, amazing day every day, meeting these very faithful people coming through, really wanting to do things right and seeing where that leads them. But they know. Actually, Mike, there was a study done that showed that prayer worked just as well as any other technology getting people pregnant.
Right. And actually, if you don't know that they're praying for you, it's even better, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah. I think they had seminarians praying for infertility patients in Korea, and the Korean infertility or the pregnancy rate spiked in that clinic or something of that nature. So prayer definitely has a positive influence on this.
Right. I mean, it's realizing that you don't have control.
Right.
It's realizing that the control is all in God's hands. And when God deems it possible, then it will be there. You know what I mean?
Right.
And not before.
Right. And I think it takes that, it allows them to give up that control, which allows them to relax and to just let things happen.
Exactly.
Sure. Well, Tony, last time we talked, you were kind of in a transition between your former practice. Tell us, you know, you've mentioned several times that you opened a clinic. Tell us what you're doing now.
Oh, well, we opened up an office that that provides full-time services. I've gone back to my roots and now do OBGYN and REI with a friend who's been a friend of mine for the last 5 years, actually was referred to me by a priest as a penance by the name of Dr. Robert Lawler. And we opened it up a year ago today. The beginning of July. We opened it up a year ago July. And we call it Downers Grove OBGYN. And we have been servicing women of all faiths with their women's care services and needs over that time. And it's a wonderful apostolate to do. I mean, honestly, I wish I was younger in doing this than I am. But the point is that God chose it now.
Right.
So that's where it is. And so we're living the dream, so to speak.
Well, I'm glad to hear it's going well for you. And I know I've referred a couple of patients who have moved to the Chicago area to you.
Oh,
and
thank
so
you, Mike.
Now I've got the name of your practice, and I can do that. Well, Tony, this time runs by real quick on the radio show, and I want to thank you again for coming on the show with me. And I know Dr. Turek is disappointed that he couldn't be here to talk with you again today, and we look forward to having you on the show again. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, Mike, it's my pleasure. Anytime.
All right. Take care, and God bless, Tony. You've been listening to the Catholic Doctor Show on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Until next week, we hope your week is happy, healthy, and holy.
The Catholic Doctors is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek are available at stgabrielradio.com.